All right, well, tonight we have the privilege of hearing from some of our very own city youth. And so we're going to hear from four of them. All throughout this term, we have been focusing on just getting to know more of God. Actually, all of this year, we have been talking about the different characteristics of God and how he loves us and the way that we can experience his presence. And so these guys are going to share all different things. And yeah, enough from me. I'm going to invite up our first speaker, Moses. Why don't you give him a hand? Nice. Here you go, Moses. Take it away.
Good evening, everyone. How good was that video? Shout out to Luke for making that. Anyway, my name is Moses, and I've been going to City Church for a large part of my life, when I was a child and now as a teenager. I've been attending youth since the start of college, and this year was my first year as a leader, which has been a great experience. I'm currently 1 year out of school and work down the road at New World, which is an extremely exciting job. I enjoy playing and watching sport, maybe not so much this morning, watching the Aussies win and the All Blacks choke, but anyway, I'll open in prayer real quick. Dear Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity to gather here in this lovely place and worship you. I ask that you bless those who are speaking, and may it be you who speaks through us tonight. Hopefully everyone can take something away and enjoy the hot chips after the service. Amen. I even bought chicken salt if anyone wants chicken salt for the chips. I don't know why I brought that up here, but we'll keep that there. Anyway, tonight I wanted to share with you a bit of my story and reflect on how God has used that to shape my life and decisions. I was born here in Tauranga and went to City Church for the first 7 years of my life. I was brought up in a Christian home with my parents' strong faith in the Lord having a great impact on me. This has set up a great foundation on which I built my own faith, leading to me giving my life to Jesus in 2016 and getting baptized in 2019. When I was 7, my parents and I packed our bags and moved over to Uganda for a year, where they were going to teach at an international school. Before we knew it, that year turned into 2, then 3, and finally we ended up staying there for 5 years. During our time there, we ended up adopting 3 children of a similar age, who are now my brothers and sister. Going to an international school over there, I was able to experience a multitude of different cultures. Uganda is a beautiful country with various national parks and cool wildlife, which has given me a strong appreciation of God's creation and craftsmanship. One particular experience stands out, where one rainy Sunday we attended the church of a person that we were sponsoring. To get there, about 15 of us hopped in a 10-seater van, so it was pretty roomy, as you can imagine. When we arrived at the church, the muddy floor was causing people to slip over everywhere as the rain slowly seeped through the straw roof that protected the building. There were a couple broken plastic chairs strewn around for the elderly to sit on. Probably still more comfy than these chairs, but no. Jokes. However, what I clearly remember was that none of their circumstances stopped any of them from worshipping Jesus. I could feel the joy and love that flowed out of those people that day. In Uganda, 41% of people live on less than $2 a day. 7 million of them do not have access to safe drinking water, and over 20,000 children under the age of 17 live on the streets of the capital city, Kampala. However, despite their struggles, 84% of the population call themselves Christian. Does anyone know the population of Uganda? Nathan? Correct. How'd you know that? And so, from my experience that day and throughout my years living there, I could see that a lot of those 49 million people who had absolutely nothing putting their trust in Jesus. And it got me wondering how all these people who have to fight to survive every day could be so joyful and thankful to God. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This portrays that Jesus is the only hope we need if we want to live fulfilling lives. My experience in Uganda and from being surrounded by helplessness and poverty made me realize that joy and hope is not found in the desires and treasures of this world. Because these people had absolutely nothing. However, they had love and hope, because they were able to put God above all else. It is easy here in New Zealand to have many distractions that stop us from putting God first, like materialistic possessions or a life that follows what the world wants. 1 John 2:16 to 17 says, "For everything that is in the world, the desire for fleshly gratification, the desire for possessions and worldly arrogance is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its desires are fading away. But the person who does God's will remains forever." From this experience, I've learned to always put God first, because if I don't go down the path that leads to Jesus, what joy and hope will I ever have? This has definitely challenged me in the latter years of my teenage life as I transition into adulthood. I've had to make decisions between what the world wants and what God wants. Even though sometimes I may struggle with things like glorifying possessions like money or clothes, or even idolizing things like doing well at school or sports, I try to keep close to the fact that putting God first is always the right way, because all that matters is Jesus, a lesson I learned reasonably early on in my life. And so far, I have found out that every time I have put Jesus first and worldly things aside, he has blessed me greatly. So I challenge you tonight to take a look at your own decisions and ask yourself whether you are putting Jesus above all else, or are you focused on something else? Because it says in Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Putting Jesus first could look like starting your day in the Word, being in constant conversation with him, or even just going to church, which could definitely be a challenge with the World Cup starting tomorrow. Additionally, I also say, are you being grateful for all the small blessings that you do receive? We're all so blessed to be living in this beautiful country where it is easy to take things for granted. Like the other day, I was just trying to find a park in town, and I was getting really frustrated because I couldn't find one. I was about to give up and go, but then I remembered, at least I have a car. At least I have the ability to drive. All of a sudden, a park opened up, and I felt like it was God reminding me to be grateful and he will provide. So I encourage you, as it says in his word, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Finally, writing this has definitely helped me in my path to find out what the vision God has for my life, because it made me realize that a fancy career or a flash house at the end of it doesn't matter. All that matters is putting Jesus first, and all my needs and wants will be fulfilled. Yeah, and now taking inspiration from Lee, our young adults on Wednesday, I'll take a quick photo. Smile. Right. Sweet, I'll now invite up Margo.
Thank you. Such a great message to remember to count our blessings and be grateful for all that God provides us with. So for those of you who don't know, my name's Margo. I've been coming to City Youth for about 2 years now. This term, we've been looking at the theme of encountering God. And so I thought I'd share a little bit about, just what God's been highlighting to me this term about, like, what it's like to meet with him and why it's so important as Christians to encounter God. So I'm a big reader, and the Narnia series was a favorite of mine as a kid and still is. When I think about encountering God, I always remember when the Pevensey children first meet Aslan, the lion, who throughout the Narnia series is symbolic of Jesus. When Edmund, the youngest brother, gets lost, he's captured by the White Witch, the older three siblings go to Aslan to ask for help to find their brother. And so I'll read from the passage when they meet him for the first time. "As for Aslan himself, the beavers and the children didn't know what to do or say when they saw him. When they tried to look at Aslan's face, they just caught a glimpse of the golden mane and the great, royal, solemn, overwhelming eyes, and they found they couldn't look at him and went all trembly. As he spoke, his voice was deep and rich and somehow took the fidgets out of them. C.S. Lewis's description of the children's meeting with Aslan truly captures what it's like to be met with the peace and majesty of Jesus. Encounters with God come in many different forms, but in my experience, meeting with God, whether it be through prayer, His Word, or the Holy Spirit, reminds me of the holiness and the power of our Creator. As Christians, we need encounters with God not only to sustain and to deepen our faith, but to remind us of who He is. I love the story of the woman at the well because it shows us just how an ordinary life can be radically transformed by an encounter with God. Initially, when Jesus asked the woman for a drink of water, she refused. She said, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" But Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus talks to the woman, revealing that he's the Messiah, and leaving her jar of water, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Many of the Samaritans came from the town to meet this man the woman was talking about. They said, "We no longer believe just because of what you've said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the savior of the world." After meeting Jesus, the woman knew that this man wasn't any ordinary Jew. This was the Messiah, the Son of God. She didn't want to keep this news to herself, so went straight back to her village to share about her encounter with Jesus and to bring her friends and family to meet the Messiah for themselves. So I think there are three key things we can learn from this story. The first is that anyone can have an encounter with God. The woman at the well was a Samaritan, and in biblical times, Samaritans and Jews didn't meet, let alone engage in conversation. God has a desire to meet with every person, no matter the depth of our sin, our past, or our social status. All we have to do is make ourselves available. The second message we can take from this story is the power of sharing about our encounters with God. When the woman returned to the well, with the people she'd gathered to meet Jesus, the crowd were in awe of the fact that they were talking to the Messiah and urged him to stay a further 2 days to preach to the rest of the village. So this just shows how one encounter can make room for God to work in so many hearts. When sharing our story, let's not hesitate to tell about how our encounters with God have changed us and shaped our faith. The third thing I feel like God is telling us through this story is to be ready. The Samaritan woman certainly wouldn't have expected to meet the Messiah on her daily trip to the well. It would have been a huge and amazing surprise, just as encounters with Jesus often are. We can meet with God anytime, anywhere, and God can do amazing things in hearts that are expectant and willing. Yeah, so I'd just like to finish with a verse from Luke, which I think speaks to the fact that God wants to meet with us and all we have to do is to make ourselves available. So it says, "For everyone who asks receives," oh, this is Luke 11, verse 10. "For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks will find, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Yeah. That's me. Now I'd like to invite up Thomas to share with us.
Good evening. All right. Well, that was impressive, Margo. To start off, I'd like to share a little bit about myself and based on us doing testimonies over the last few weeks. So, as Margot said, my name's Thomas. I grew up in this church after I moved here from England at a young age. I came here through kids, through Empower, and I started youth in year 9, which I loved until I didn't. I decided it'd be smart for me to try live without God for a bit. It didn't go to plan. It didn't bring me joy, and I tried to fill an empty void with everything else except for God. This didn't work, and I decided may as well try youth again. I loved it. I ended up giving my life to God fully at a camp. And I started building a relationship with him. This year, I became a youth leader. And I did a young leaders program with Sam and Abby. So grateful for that. I got baptized this year in March. And now I serve in youth, under fives, and sometimes hospitality. I love it. I'm grateful for everything I have, and I love God. All this has led me to this morning. My prayers are magic now. Someone locked their keys in their car, and I said, "Open sesame in the name of Jesus," and we got their keys out. So that's amazing. Now that I've told a little bit about myself, I wanted to talk about the parable of the sower and the importance of sharing the word of God. In Matthew 13, I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them, and other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain. Some 100 times, some 60 times, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And then in Matthew 13:23, he explains it by saying, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100, another 60, and another 30. I think as Christians, we should be sowing seeds of the word of God as far and wide as we can. We should try to be more like Jesus, and that's what we aim to do every day. Whereas farmers only sow into good soil that they know will produce heaps of crops. Whereas we should attempt to be like Jesus and sow everywhere, no matter what, because you never know where the seed will land and how much you can change someone by spreading the word of God. And sometimes this can be hard, because it's easy to come along to youth on a Friday or church on a Sunday and serve there and then call it a day. You've sown in. But yeah, it's always important to sow other places, even if you don't think it is good soil. This week I was trying to decide what I should write, what I should speak about, and I chucked on my worship playlist and decided that'd be a smart idea to get something from there. Thought that God would give me the power and hopefully something would spawn in my notes. And I was listening to, I think it's called Fresh Wind, the one we were singing today, and it says, "So we the church who bear the light, lamp of flame, city bright." I think that's also another thing which is really important. We have the power to light up the city with Jesus and ultimately share his word everywhere, which I think is important. That's my message. I'd just like to invite up Olivia.
Thank Hello. Since everyone's kind of given you a background of themselves, I thought I would too. My name's Olivia. I've been in this church like forever, right? Yeah? Cool. Yeah, my parents won't answer me. Yeah, forever. And I love it so much. Yeah, it's really grown me and helped me to learn a lot about God. So tonight I'm talking about prayer. And for me, prayer has been a massive part of my life. And I'm lucky enough to have parents and grandparents who pray and show me the importance of prayer. And my parents pray a lot, and I've seen that a lot throughout my life. And my mum prays about anything and everything, like even the smallest things, which I think is super cool. And this has encouraged me to learn to pray and realize how much joy I can get from having a conversation with God. And as I've studied prayer, I've found that as people in the Bible prayed, they truly believed that they had the ability and power to influence God through their prayers. God says multiple times in the Bible that he wants us to pray, and we need to pray with a boldness and a shameless audacity. So when I was younger, like when I was in the car with my parents and I knew we were about to pass Macca's, I would ask non-stop, like I wouldn't let them get an answer in. I'd keep asking till they gave in. Most of the time it would be no. And they wouldn't change their mind no matter how many times I asked or how many times I cried. It was disappointing, but they knew that I didn't need Macca's every time we drove past, although I thought I definitely needed it. God is a good father. He has a perfect plan and purpose for our lives, so he doesn't say yes to everything we ask. And if we need something, if we need God to do something in our lives, we need to ask. He's not bothered by us asking, and we need to ask with a shameless audacity, like I did with Macca's. I didn't care that I was asking 100 times, I just wanted an answer. The parable of the persistent widow is a great example of asking with shameless audacity. Luke 18:1-8 talks about a widow that just kept asking a judge for justice. She bothered him every day until he gave in and gave her what she was asking. Jesus told his disciples this parable to show them that they should always pray for what they need and ask with confidence. She asked with a shameless audacity and boldness. If the widow gave up asking the judge for justice, she never would have been given it. Seeing as she was persistent, she received the justice she was asking for. Jesus always answers us when we pray, but we don't always like the answer. Sometimes if God says no to us, then that is his direction for us. My second point is that our prayers never die. Sometimes God says, not right now, and he says this so he can, so his will can be done on earth. Our prayers matter to him, and he will answer them in his own time. We need to trust his timing and the perfect plan that he has for us. King David had a prayer and a dream to build God's house. David was prepared to work and fulfill his prayer. David prayed for something before it had happened. He prayed with faith. David prayed a big prayer regarding building God's temple and God's house. However, he also did not waste the moment. He began to prepare. He got to work. David prayed and started to prepare for what he was praying for. David expected God to do the super, but David did the natural. We need to do what we can do and trust God that he will do what we can't do. God doesn't want to do the work for us. He wants to do the super and do the natural work through us. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 19, which was one of the prayers that King David prayed, says, "And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the beautiful structure for which I have provided." After this prayer, King David died, but his prayer didn't die. His prayer lived on, and later on, the prayer that David prayed for his son Solomon was answered. Sometimes we need to pray prayers that may not be completed in our lifetime. it is so inspiring that our church does exactly that. All the time we pray audacious prayers, and as a church we cry out to God to do the supernatural through us. God isn't the one that needs our prayers. We're the ones that need them. And if we don't pray, God will still be all right, but we won't be. We don't have to pray. It's something we get to do. It's the same with church. We don't have to come. We get to come. We get to talk to God. We get to have a relationship with our Creator. He wants to hear our prayers, no matter what they are. Jesus wept with Mary and Martha, and that shows how much he loves us. Our pain and sufferings bother him. He doesn't want to see us suffer, but it is for his plan that we do, and through our hardships we can glorify him. Throughout the Bible, Jesus walked alongside a lot of people and loved talking to them and hearing about their needs. He was and is never too busy to hear about anything and everything we go to him about. When I was younger, I would talk to God all the time. About literally everything. I would go to him during school every day and I'd tell him exactly what I was doing, even though he already knew. Like, oh God, I'm eating lunch now. But please tell my mum tomorrow not to give me a peanut butter sandwich. I went to him with a shameless audacity. Even though it was about something so small and something that honestly didn't matter, I still did it. However, when I got a bit older, I thought maybe God wouldn't want to hear every small detail, like whether or not Mum made me a peanut butter sandwich that day. But he does. He wants us to talk to him nonstop. God already knew everything that had happened throughout my day, but he loved hearing about it. And I loved him and still love him so much, and I love that he was there to talk to. God is there for us, and he can sympathize with all of our pain and weaknesses because he walked on this earth and he carried the cross, so he gets it. He hears our cries and prayers to him, and God understands everything we're going through. So I'll finish off with a verse. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So that's me, and now I'm going to invite up Abby.
How awesome. Thank you guys, that was awesome to hear just things that the Lord has put on your heart. I was taking so many notes I couldn't even keep up. I almost forgot I had to come back up again. But Moses, what you said about don't let your circumstances stop you from worshiping Jesus. Margo said an ordinary life can be radically transformed by encounter with God. Thomas said, we have been given God's authority to bear his light. And Olivia said, if we don't pray, God will be all right, but we will not.